Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And let's turn to chapter 8, Exodus chapter 8. And let's read in verse 27. "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall..." I'm sorry, let me back up to verse 25. "Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do, but we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at that time also, neither would he let the people go." And then in chapter 10, and chapter 10 verse 7, "And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, and with our flocks and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, the evil is before you. Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence." And let's read also down in verse 24. "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither." Now, what I want to preach to you about tonight is not a hoof left behind. I read to you about four compromises that Pharaoh made with the children of Israel. His first compromise was sacrifice to God in the land. Second one was, you can leave, but don't go very far away. Third one was, you can go, the men, but leave your women and children. And the fourth one was, you can go, but leave your cattle. Those are the four compromises that Pharaoh sought to make with Moses that I'd like to preach to you about tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege of being together again in God's house. I ask you to help us tonight. We'd be able, Lord, to expound the Word of God in such a way that your people would be blessed and helped tonight. Father, don't let us waste our time here tonight. May we gather around the table of the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd give me the tongue of the learned. I pray that you'd help me tonight, Jesus, to speak the words of God. And I pray that you'd bless this congregation. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts to the Word and help us to take heed to the Word of God. We give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for us to see tonight from this passage of Scripture that I've read to you, these passages of Scripture, that the strength of your commitment to Christ is going to have a direct bearing on your response to future temptation. There's going to be times when Satan's going to come to you and try to make compromises with you, cutting our ties to the past, to our sinful past, cutting all ties to our sinful past. It's critical to our enjoyment of our new life in Jesus. It's critical to our having victory in Jesus is that we cut our ties full and finally with our past. If you fail to make a clean break with the world, the appeal of the world will weaken your commitment to Christ and finally destroy your commitment to Christ. And God teaches us this lesson in the experiences of the Israelites leaving Egypt. In Egypt, the Israelites lived as servants to Pharaoh. They couldn't serve God because they were servants of Pharaoh. Pharaoh would not allow them to serve God. And the children of Israel lived under the authority and the dominion of Pharaoh. And so the children of Israel could not serve God. And you cannot serve two masters, the Bible says. You got to choose who you're going to serve. Joshua made that famous declaration to the children of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Hallelujah. As long as life was comfortable in Egypt, the Israelites were content to live under Pharaoh. They were not anxious to leave Egypt. As long as life was comfortable, this was a mighty kingdom. It was a rich kingdom. It was the mightiest empire on the face of the earth. And they had no desire to leave this. They dwelt in the best of the land, in the land of Goshen. And there was no desire among the Israelites to leave Egypt as long as life was good there. They had a promise from God of an inheritance in Canaan. But that promise didn't appeal to them as long as Pharaoh treated them good. And as long as they prospered in Egypt, they were satisfied to stay there. It's that way with sinners in sin. Sinners are content to live in sin as long as life is comfortable there. As long as they've got the wind at their back, they're not going to worry about getting out of sin. It takes a crisis to bring people to a decision. And so, God did not want Israel in Egypt. He wanted them in Canaan. That was what God had promised to them. The Bible says that God created a crisis in Egypt. Psalms 105 and verse 25 says that God turned the heart of the Egyptians to hate his people and to deal subtly with his servants. In other words, God took the down out of the nest and life became a burden. And these Israelites were placed under hard labor. They became slaves to Pharaoh. It was God's way of birthing a longing in their heart to leave Egypt behind. When life became hard, they began to cry out to God for deliverance. They began to pray for God to hear their prayer. They began to long for deliverance. I've told you many times about my grandmother and how she got saved. She was a church-going woman, but lost. And she had two boys and a little girl. And the little girl got sick In spite of all they could do for her, she died. It broke my grandmother's heart. She almost lost her mind over it. But in that time of her sorrow, she was invited by a little holiness lady to go to church with her. And when my grandmother went to that little holiness church, she fell in the altar and gave her heart to Jesus. But God first broke her heart in order to heal her heart and give her this salvation. So it was that in Egypt there was a crisis now in the nation of Israel, and there was a long struggle that developed in Egypt over the release of Israel, because Pharaoh did not want them to leave Egypt. They were useful to him. He didn't want to lose their service. They built cities for him. They were an instrument that he could use to enhance his kingdom. And so he didn't want to lose them. And I'm telling you that Satan doesn't easily turn loose of souls either. And we see that in the hour that we're living in. If you get a soul out of the kingdom of Satan, you fight for that soul, brother. Because Satan holds on to everybody he can. Because he uses them in the enhancement of his kingdom. Everybody has an influence. Everybody that serves Satan is taking somebody to hell with them. I'm telling you, brother, you don't go to hell by yourself. You have an influence on somebody else. Satan don't want to turn anybody loose because he knows that that person is useful to him in the destruction of the human family. And so it's a difficult thing. The Bible tells us that it takes a stronger than the strong man to bind the strong man and to spoil his house. The strong man is the devil. He has souls in bondage, in prison. And you can't go and spoil his house unless there's somebody stronger than the strong man. Thank God that we've got somebody stronger than the strong man. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Jesus is able to break the bands that bind people, able to open the prison doors and take off the chains that hold them in bondage. Jesus is the stronger than the strong man, and the one that's able to deliver souls out of the bondage of sin. So these Israelites, these Egyptians rather, under heavy pressure because of the plagues that God was sending upon them, Pharaoh decided that he'd offer a compromise to Moses. So instead of letting you go, he said, instead of letting Israel go, he said to Moses, why don't you just stay in the land? In Exodus 8 and 25, where I read to you, he said, go ye and sacrifice to your God in the land. Stay in Egypt. Sacrifice to God in Egypt. You don't have to leave Egypt to worship God. Just stay right here in Egypt. You remember what Moses said to Pharaoh, don't you? God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let them go. And you can stay right here in the land of Egypt and worship God. Oh, my brother, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people swallowed that compromise. And they became very religious. And they stayed right there in the land of Egypt and tried to do their worshiping right there in the land of Egypt. The devil loves nothing better than to make people religious sinners. You hear me? I said he loves nothing better than to make people religious sinners. If he can convince people that they're saved while they're living in their sins, staying down in Egypt, if he deceives a person into thinking they're saved when they're lost, the most dangerous position in the world, thinking you're saved when you're lost. Brother, this is the first compromise that Pharaoh offered to Moses. Stay here. Get religious here. Worship your God in the land of Egypt. But that was not the will of God. And nobody can be a true worshiper of God while they're living under the rule of Satan. These people were living under the rule of Pharaoh, and trying to worship God. You can't worship God while you're living under somebody else's rule. You got to accept the government of God. You got to yield yourself to God. Nobody can worship a God they're not willing to submit to. Secondly, Pharaoh offered this compromise to Moses. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28, he says to him, "I'll let you go," Pharaoh says, "that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away." Why was it that Pharaoh was so interested in keeping them close by? I'll tell you why. Satan was interested in keeping them close by. He wouldn't have very far to go to get them. And so he said, "I'll let you go just so you don't go very far away. Stay close by." And you know, they had no sooner got loose from Pharaoh till Pharaoh decided to go after them. Come after them with his army. If it hadn't been for God opening up the Red Sea and swallowing the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea, he'd have done his best to take them back. Now listen, when they saw Pharaoh coming, they were afraid. They said, "Here comes Pharaoh, he's going to kill us, and we'd have done better to stay back there in Egypt." But you know, he was not after them to kill them. He was after them to take them back into slavery. And when we get loose from the devil, listen to me, when we get loose from the devil, I'm telling you, the safest thing to do is drive just as fast as you can, as far as you can, away from Satan. Don't get saved and satisfied. Get sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you stay too close to the boundary, brother, Satan's got easy access to you. But if you keep driving on, you keep growing in the Lord, you keep seeking the face of God, get as far away as you can. It's safe when you're driving fast and furious away from the world. Too many people have gotten loose and stayed close by. It wasn't long before they came the victim again of Satan. Because, and I'm telling you, this is Satan's plan for every one of you now. Everybody's gotten saved in this place. This is his plan for you. You're not to go very far away. Stay close to the boundary. Stay close to Egypt. Don't get too far out there, where it would be some problem for the devil to get to you. I'm telling you, that you that have gotten saved, it's important for you to seek the face of God and go on with God and be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire and have the power of God in your life, that you can resist the devil and you can overcome Satan and you won't soon become a victim of the devil. Then he offered a third compromise. He said in Exodus chapter 10, in verse 8, he says to Moses, "You go and serve your Lord. Serve the Lord. But don't take your wives and your children. It's dangerous. Leave them here. You men go and serve God." You know, Pharaoh's crafty and he's cunning. And he knows that if these men walk out of Egypt without their wives and children, they'll soon be back in Egypt to come back to their wives and children. So he says, you just go on, I'll let you go. You go on and worship your God, but leave behind your wives and your children. Leave your families here. And the reason for that was he was seeking to ensure their return back to Egypt. I'm telling you, brother, anybody that gets saved, gets loose from Egypt, and they're satisfied to see their family stay in Egypt, it won't be long until they'll be back in Egypt themselves. It's only when that person has the same kind of attitude that Moses had, "I'm leaving, but I ain't leaving alone. I'm leaving with my family. My wife is going. My children are going. Everybody in our family is going. I'm not leaving any of them in Egypt." Now, no, you can't make people leave Egypt. You can't make your family get saved. But when you're satisfied to see them not saved, it won't be long until you'll be back there with them. Brother, there's got to be something inside of you that says, "Satan, Thank God I got loose from you, but my family's not staying here. And I'm going to seek the face of God until every one of them is loose from the power of sin and Satan. A Christian that's content to see their children live for the devil will probably someday be satisfied to live like their children. And brother, that's happened over and over again. People that were content to see their children live in Egypt, live out of the will of God, live under the direction of Satan, not burdened about that, satisfied with Egypt for their families. Time goes on, and little by little they're broken down by their families. Listen to me. If you're not concerned about them living in Egypt, I tell you what, they're concerned because you're not living in Egypt. Do you hear me? You're not concerned about them living in Egypt, but they're concerned about you not living in Egypt. And so they'll do their best to draw you into where they're living. And I've seen it happen over and over again, brother. Many times when people get close to the crossing, I mean on down the road, and his family's still in Egypt, and they break down the convictions of mother and daddy who was content to see son and daughter living under the rule of Satan and tear down the convictions of their mother and father. But brother, listen, you will never go back to Egypt. You will never join your family in Egypt as long as you are pulling with all of your might to get them out of Egypt and praying for the salvation of their soul and their deliverance from the rule of Satan. You'll never go back to Egypt when you're trying to pull everybody you can out of Egypt. You hear me? Hallelujah. We must not be content to see our families stay under the rule of Satan. And finally, Pharaoh offered this final compromise. In Exodus chapter 10 and verse 24, he says, "All right, go serve the Lord. Take your families with you, but leave your flocks and herds behind." And Moses answers him, "We're not going to leave our families, and we're not going to leave our cattle. We will not leave one hoof behind." Hallelujah. The reason that Pharaoh wanted them to leave their cattle is because their cattle was the instrument of worship. They were not just leaving for the sake of leaving. They were leaving to establish a new relationship to God. They were leaving to worship God and live under the rule of God. They were going to live as the servants of God. They were going to worship Him through sacrifice. And in order to worship God, they must take their cattle with them. And so Moses said, "We're not going to leave a hoof behind." Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I hope y'all hearing me tonight. Hope y'all listening to me tonight. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. This is the way the devil works on the minds and hearts of people. He says, "Okay, if you get away from Egypt, you get out of Egypt. But if he can keep you from worshiping God, if he can keep you from admiring the Lord, if he can keep you from rejoicing in the God of your salvation, if he can keep you silent and not praising the Lord and not honoring God and not focusing on his greatness and not focusing on his goodness, brother, he'll destroy your faith, take you back where you came from if you don't become a worshiper of God." Hallelujah. And not just in the house of God. Some people can't even worship God in the house of God. They can't even get their minds on God when we're just focusing everything on God. Everybody around you is supposed to be worshiping God. And some people can't worship God in the midst of the house of God, in the assembly of God's people. But I'm telling you that we have to worship God all week long, in our homes, on our jobs, in our schools, wherever we are. We worship God in spirit and in truth. truth. Because we didn't just leave Egypt to be leaving Egypt. We left because we were going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Whenever we fail to worship God, we open ourselves up to become victims of Satan again. We must focus on God, give God glory. We must be open to God's Spirit revealing to us His greatness and His glory and giving Him the honor that's due unto His name. If you do not worship God, you will soon be a victim of the devil again. There's a lack of cultivation in our relationship with God. We fail to use the means He's given us to relate to Him. It leads to desire for our old relationship. When you do not focus on this new relationship, when you do not focus on developing this new relationship with God, cultivating this relationship with God, drawing nigh to God, worshiping God from your heart, if you do not cultivate that relationship, you'll soon be desiring the old relationship. But when you're satisfied with this new relationship with God, oh, hallelujah, oh, there's something inside of you drawing you heavenward, and you're giving God glory, and you're fellowshipping with God, and you're worshiping God. You're not likely to go back to those old relationships when you're satisfied with this new relationship. Boy, there's something satisfying, brother. There's something satisfying about communion with God. Something satisfying to the human soul about worshiping God and giving God glory and giving God honor. There's something satisfying to the human soul because there's nothing, no higher practice in all of human history, in all of the possibility of human experience, nothing greater than worshiping God. I'm telling you, you can do nothing greater than worship God. It's the highest exercise available to man. It's to worship God. If we do not do that, if we do not cultivate this relationship with God and worship God in spirit and in truth, we'll be longing for the old relationships. I'm telling you, brother, I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I fear that it may be in this church, that there are people whose relationship with God is not like it should be, and that the old relationships are calling. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, to love Jesus. To love Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To cultivate that relationship day in and day out in a life of prayer and study of the Word. Cultivate that relationship in the house of God. Not just to say I went to the house of God. Not just to say I sat on the pew. But I went there and I met God. Oh, I met God. God met me. I met Him. I felt Him. I gave Him glory. I worshiped Him. What do we come here for? I know our fellowship with one another is valuable. It's precious. But there's something greater. There's something more important. And that's our worship of God. We come here to meet with God. And when we cultivate that relationship between us and God, the world's call gets dim in our ears. And when we're hearing the call of God to come up higher, so that God will help us, we turn a deaf ear to the compromises of the devil. We're not going to stay in the land. We're not just going to be religious sinners. We're not just going to reform our lives a little bit. Take up the habit of going to church and stay in our sinful past in bondage to the old sins that once held us. We're still bound to pornography, bound to a life of cussing and lusting, and bound to a life of covetousness and sin of all stripes. We can't stay in the land and worship God. We got to get out of the land of Egypt and worship God in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. We can't afford just to get just outside of Egypt and stop. We've got to press on, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, letting Christ cleanse our hearts of everything that's contrary to the love of God, helping us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Woo, hallelujah! Oh, glory to God, I'm telling you, Jesus wants to help us and make us strong and able to resist our adversary and turn down the compromises of the enemy. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, it bothers me, it troubles me when there are families, people I have known practically all my life, I don't know that I've ever heard them request prayer for lost children or ever seen them shed a tear for a lost child. My God. Oh, my God. To be content for our children to live under the rule of Satan. It's a dangerous thing. Not just to them. It's a dangerous thing to you. That's part of the compromise of Satan. And when we fail to give God glory and honor, hallelujah. When going to church is just, you know, part of the routine. Just part of my duty. You know, I've done my duty. If I go there, show up, be counted. No. That's not what this is all about. You missed it. You missed the whole purpose. You missed the reason why we're here. Hallelujah. Oh God, the children of Israel, when they went up to the temple, they were to go with this purpose in mind. We're going to meet with God. And God said, don't you come here empty-handed either. Don't come to the house of God empty-handed. You come with something in your hand to offer God. You come, listen, we come here. I know it's important for us to come here and get charged. I know it's important for us to come here and get encouraged. But the main reason we come here is not to get, but to give. We come here to give God glory. We come here to praise Him. We come here to honor Him. We come here to recognize His goodness to us. We come here to recognize His greatness and to worship God from our hearts. The reason why that so many people are so dry is because they only come to get. They don't come to give. You have to come empty-handed into the presence of God. We're to come with something to offer to Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, that God would help us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Sister Gail Meyer stood on the porch, I think, of the biggest Catholic church in Mexico and watched them as they brought their chickens and different things to offer unto God. And as she watched them doing these religious things, she said God dropped a message in her heart about full hands and empty hearts. Oh God, the Lord would help us to come with full hearts to give God glory and honor and praise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I love His presence, don't you? I love the presence of God. I love to worship Him. He's been so good to me. Thank God He deserves glory. He deserves honor. He deserves praise. If the devil can keep us from worshiping God, keep us silent about the Lord, keep us from praising and honoring Him, if we fail to develop this relationship, we'll be longing for that relationship back yonder in our past. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that we want to draw nigh to Him tonight. If we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. Praise the Lord. I want us to stand together. Sister Judy comes to the piano tonight. If you're here lost, Jesus is Savior. If you need to be sanctified, it's time to get sanctified. If you need the baptism, it's time to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm telling you, God is not reluctant to give His blessings to His children. If there's a hungry heart, there's a thirsty soul. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. You can be filled tonight around this altar. I want us to come into these altars. Oh, glory to God. I believe the Lord wants to help us. Come on into these altars, children. Oh, Jesus will help us. Fill us with something so good. The devil's offers look mighty cheap to somebody enjoying the blessings of God.